thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Leviticus chapter 25. That's where we're going to be, in Leviticus chapter 25, in just a moment. I had a conversation, it has been an ongoing conversation, and it really kind of was continuing till this morning at the first service. And the conversation went something like this. It was a conversation with the Lord. And I have these great expectations for 2015. Now, it's not unusual for all of us, probably at the end of one year, going into the next year, to start thinking about resolutions, thinking about things that we would like to see changed, or things we'd like to see improved, or things we'd like to see happen that haven't happened yet. I think that's quite normal for us. And I think it's kind of healthy, really, that we have that time to reflect on past years and the years ahead. But my conversation went something like this. I have so many expectations, and not so much for me personally or even my family, although I have a lot of expectations, but it's for you. And I really mean that as your pastor. I feel such, a pull on my heart that I want to see breakthroughs and I want to see things happening in your life. I guess you watch a congregation over so many years and you watch people come in and their lives are changed. They begin their walk and their journey with the Lord. But you see them kind of come short of everything you know that God has for them. And I don't know, it's probably like a father with his kids or something like that, that you just say, man, God has so much more for you. Can't you see it? Can you grab hold of it? This is what we want for you. And you only can go so far. How many know you can only go so far in trying to convince your kids? Come on. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel like my kids, because I'm not that old, you know, for you to be my kids. Most of you are my age. I know that. Now, come on. Joke. But I really do have these great expectations, so much so that the conversation went something like this. God, there are so many expectations I have. What if they don't happen? Do you know when you're expecting things, you start to think, well, if they don't happen, it could be a real bummer. It's got to make you feel bad. And the word back to me was, I have as great or greater expectations. And I began to think about that for a moment. It kind of brought a kind of a comfort to me to believe that God has probably more expectations for us than we have for ourselves. Do you believe that? I do believe it. Now, his expectations, though, are balanced out with the fact that nothing's going to happen without his help. Nothing's really going to come as far as breakthroughs or deliverances or healings or moving into new adventures and on this journey unless God does it. So it's not by might, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how things are going to be accomplished. So the expectations that God has are based on what he can do. Now, how many know that God can do far greater things than we could possibly, do ourselves? So I think we understand that. So I am believing for great things. So this message is going to set kind of a pace. You know, someone sets the pace and someone's out there and kind of, he's the one you're going to look to. So I believe God's setting a pace with a theme. Call it what you want, and we're not just trying to be cute for 2015 and have a theme, but we do have a theme. I think it's based on a biblical principle and thought that we're going to do to it. But it's also based on where we're at as a church and an organization. I'm holding off saying what it is because I want to read it first, okay? Now, I'm a true believer that God wants to bless us. I'm a true believer that God wants you to live a blessed life. Contrary to what happens in your life, what has come your way to bring you down, contrary to the doubt and unbelief that kind of like arrows that come from the enemy, that there's no way that's going to happen, you're never going to really overcome this, or look at all the bad things. Why should you expect anything different to happen in 2015? Contrary to all that, I do believe that the scriptures are very clear from the beginning to the end that we are to live a blessed life. God has called us to be blessed and to be a blessing. Now, there's a purpose behind us living a blessed life, and that is for others to be blessed and that the world might know there's a God in heaven who wants to bless them. Through the blessings that come your way, people will know that God is for them and not against them. In the book of Deuteronomy, I just want to pick out a couple verses there. You don't have to turn there. You're in Leviticus already. But Deuteronomy, listen to this. Deuteronomy is one of the first five books of the Bible. Moses wrote the book like he wrote Leviticus. Okay, but Deuteronomy is kind of a recap and a reminder of to the children of Israel of God's promises. But it's also the prerequisites to those promises coming to pass for them in the land and for them to be blessed. But one thing rings true in Deuteronomy and does throughout the whole Bible, that God is for us and not against us. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, if you're jotting down some scriptures to read later on, listen to this. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Now, I don't always feel like a holy person, but God says you're a holy people. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure, above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other, for you were the least of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, moving ahead in verses 19 and 20, reminding us once again of God's purposes for us and his will for us. Verses 19 and 20, listen to these words. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Can you see it? God has set before us. I believe God has set before us for 2015 a life that either can be blessed or a life that can be cursed. And guess what? Therefore, choose what? Life. I choose life for 2015. Now, I'm just not choosing a life to physically make it through 2015, but that's part of it. But I'm choosing the life that God has designed for me, a blessed life. A life that is abundant in every way possible, not because of what I've done or what I can do, but because of what God has already done through Jesus Christ. So choose life that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Say that with me. He is your life. Jesus is your life. A relationship with God through Jesus Christ is the life that he's chosen for you. He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me kind of give you a heads up on where we're going. We're going into 2015 with this theme that I'm going to talk about in just a moment. But we're going to continue. This isn't just one message. And my whole purpose for study and preparing for this day was not just to get one message across, but was to get an idea across that we're going to carry on through 2015. We will constantly be reminded of this theme and message all through 2015. Next week, what we're going to do is we're going to, following that same theme, but giving more foundation to it becoming possible for us in 2015 to live the kind of life that God wants us to live, we're going to talk about the subject of fasting and prayer. Isaiah chapter 58, if you want to read something this week to kind of get ahead of us, Isaiah chapter 58, the purpose for fasting. Jesus said that fasting still has a purpose. The disciples practiced fasting as they moved on in the early church. How should fasting be part of our life? What does fasting do for us? We're going to talk about that next week. We're going to give you some guidelines. On Monday, after next Sunday, we're actually starting a week-long fast. You can join us for the week. You can join us for a meal a day for the week. You can join us if you're junior high. You can fast between lunch and dinner. That's fine. That's fasting. Do you know that's fasting for junior high kids? They can make it to dinner without eating a snack after school. It's fasting. God bless you. It'll work. All right? But, so, and then every night from Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we're going to meet in the prayer chapel. For those of you who want to stop by any, we're going to have a worship team there. They're going to lead us in worship, lead us through prayer. And so that's going to kind of happen. So the whole church is on the same page, and we're going to see some real breakthroughs, some foundational things as we go into 2015 that are going to happen. Week after that, Pastor Jason is going to come, and he has a message that's going to go with the same theme that I'm going to introduce. And some of you are saying, well, tell us, what is this theme? Leviticus chapter 25. Now, Leviticus, if you're not careful, you can get bogged down in the details of what we call the law. But let me remind you of what Jesus said when he came. He did not come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. In essence, what he was saying is there's some value to understanding these precepts and commandments that we call the law that are still helpful for each and every one of us today. There are principles from the Old Testament that if we can learn from them. Let me show you some verses here. First one, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, this is out of the contemporary English version here. All this, in speaking about all the things that happened to the children of Israel, God's dealing with them, God's communication with them, God's relationship with them, all of this was written in the scriptures to what? Teach us. To teach us who live in these last days. Now, Paul's talking 2,000 years ago. Considering the last days were really from the time of Jesus and his resurrection and ascension to heaven, we've been living in the last days. You say, well, that's a mighty long time. Not to God. It's a very short period of time, the 2,000 years. If 1,000 years is one day, it's only been 2 days. Come on, guys. All right, but to teach us, so there's some value. Romans chapter 15 says, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. Now, I look at these two scriptures as saying there's value in the Old Testament. There's value of going back and reading things like the book of Leviticus, and rather than get bogged down in the details of the law, what in those scriptures can we learn that will help us in our walk today? I believe Leviticus chapter 25 is one of the texts that will help us to understand God's will for us and his ways that if followed, we're going to see tremendous breakthrough. And it's going to happen in 2015. I'm going to read it out of the contemporary English version, only selected verses. I will not read the whole chapter, but some verses that will help us get a good picture of what Leviticus is talking to us about. And then I will tell you how it relates to us. So you can follow along in any translation. But verse 1 says, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and this is when he received what he had written down in his first 5 books, the Lord told him to say to the community of Israel, so this is to the community of faith, after you enter the land that I'm giving you, it must be allowed to rest 1 year out of every 7. Get the picture. You may raise grain and grapes for 6 years, but the 7th year you must let your fields and vineyards rest in honor of me. Say in honor of me. In honor of me. That's an interesting phrase. Your Lord. So you're a farmer right now. All of us are farmers in here. I depend upon my land to produce the crops that I need to feed my family. I depend upon the land to produce the kind of food that I might sell to provide other things that my family might need throughout the year. I live because of the land and what the land produces. So I am told now that on the 7th year as a farmer, I'm not to do anything with my land. It's to lay dormant. The only thing that I can do, we read later on here, is that I can eat what grows wild on the land, but I cannot work those fields at all. I must depend on who? The Lord. Now, we get immediately into one of the great truths of Leviticus 25, and that it's a book that teaches us the value of trusting in God. How hard would it be for a farmer to let his land lay dormant? How hard is it for us sometimes when God's word instructs us to do something that logically or in the natural does not make sense? It's very hard to grasp hold of, and some really basic things. How can I love my enemies when my enemy is so hateful and angry at me? And yet I'm to pray for my enemies, and yet God's word says to do it. So I have to swallow, take a deep breath, swallow, and I should love my enemies, pray for my enemies. Well, similar, trusting in him. Keep that in mind as we go now. Verse 8, once every 49 years, we're getting into a numbers thing now, on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is called the Great Day of Forgiveness or Jubilee, trumpets are to be blown everywhere in the land. The 50th year is sacred. It is a time of freedom and of jubilee or celebration, when everyone will receive back their original property. Slaves will return home to their families. This is the year of complete jubilee or celebration. So don't plant any seed of harvest what your fields or vineyards produce. It is a time of sacred jubilee or celebration. You may eat only what grows on its own. So now, every 7 years, they have to leave the land dormant. Don't do anything with it. 7 times 7 years gives us 49 years, and on the 50th year, they are to do the same thing. It is one of those 7 years. But there's something special about this 50th year because God says it's sacred. It's a very special time. 50 years is a very special time, a time of celebration, a time of freedom. So God had in mind for them not only to leave the land dormant, so now they're to trust God that on the 49th year or the 6th year that God will produce enough, God will bless them enough in that to provide for them for the next actually 3 years. Because if you don't plant on that year, not only do you not have that year, but the next year which you were counting on, you don't have either. So you're trusting the Lord for 3 years. That's a lot of trust. That's a lot of faith. But what has God called us to? A life of faith, a life of trust, a life of dependency on him. And why we lack the abundant life, what robs from us the abundant life, is that we don't trust in the Lord as much as we do in our own talents and our own strengths. So we try to make our way through life, making it with our own strengths and talents. Oh, we acknowledge God. And God's kind of in the picture, but to really release and trust God, we have our reservations. And that's what brings burden. That's what brings defeat. That's what brings weariness. That's what brings worry. That's what brings fear, is that we do not trust God. Listen, 2015, I am claiming it will be a year of trust and faith in him like never before. Verse 19, 18 and 19. If you obey my laws and teachings, you will live safely in the land and enjoy its abundant crops. Don't ever worry about what you will eat during the 7th year when you are forbidden to plant or harvest. I will see to it that you harvest enough in the 6th year to last for 3 years. That's amazing truth. Do you remember the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's talking about worry. And all of his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. In other words, you put God first, you put his word first, you trust him, you put your faith in him, and God will provide your clothing, he'll provide your food, he'll provide the finances, everything you need to live, he will provide based on your trust in him. Are you getting this? There's a lot of trust involved in this walk with God. Now, unfortunately, the children of Israel missed it. The book of Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, if you go back and read those, we'll refer to them a little later, but it says they could not enter into God's total rest. They could not enter into his abundant life. With all of the promises and all of the witness and all of the testimonies, with all the miraculous things God did, they could not come in to all that God had for them because of unbelief. How much are you going to believe God in 2015? I have set a course for my own life, not based on my own strength, but based on God's ability that, Lord, I want to trust you more. Now, am I involved in that? Absolutely. My involvement is pull back and let God. I've got to pull back. I've got to really, I cannot allow or entertain the worry that's going to try to hit me, the fear that's going to, you know, we just heard about fear. Jeff's great message last week. I want to turn my fear into worship. When fear goes to hit me, I want to just worship God. I want to exalt him. I want to see God move in that. Verse 23, no land may be permanently bought or sold. Now here's another truth. It all belongs to me. It isn't your land. You only live there for a little while. What we have in this life doesn't belong to us. Everything we have has been lent to us by the Lord. You say, well, I work pretty hard to pay that mortgage every month for the home that I live in. Okay, who has given you the strength to work? Who has given you the power to make wealth? It's God. It all goes back to God. But don't we have this amazing ability as human beings to kind of pull it all in and say, it's mine? What is the first thing your children do when they're arguing, their siblings? That's mine. What do we do as God's kids? It's mine. It's like we don't want anyone else to touch it, not even God, because it's mine. It really isn't yours. And this is another thing God's bringing out. Even the land is only lent to us. Even what you have is lent to you because we're only here for a little while. 2015 should be a year of reflection on not only what God is going to do, but we're only here for a little while. And then we're going to move on. Verse 38, remember, I am the Lord your God. I rescued from Egypt and gave you the land of Canaan so that I would be your God. And then toward the end, verse 54, both you and your children will still be set free in the year of Jubilee or celebration. People of Israel, I am the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt to be my own servants. Okay. The theme, Jubilee, a year of celebration. In June of 1965, Faith Bible Chapel International was incorporated as a ministry. 65, 75, 85, 95, 2005, 2015 is our 50th year. This is our year of Jubilee. Can you give God praise for that? 50th year. Now, I think it means something to us. I just happen to believe the scriptures. Now, it doesn't mean that we're not blessed in 47th year or we're not going to be blessed in the 54th year, but I do believe that something very special is going to happen because our hearts are stirred, as Jeff already made mention, that this is our Jubilee. Let's take advantage of this year of Jubilee. And everything that Leviticus chapter 25 was referencing to this year, and I'm going to give you some of what it referenced to in just a moment. This is our year. And if it boils down to anything, I want us to celebrate God and his goodness more than we've ever celebrated before. Now, I've been in this ministry, I've been part of Faith Bible Chapel for 45 of the 50 years. So I've been around enough. I haven't been here. There have been some in here, but longer. Some have been in since the very beginning. Dennis and Cindy Connor were here from the very beginning, 50 years of ministry. But I've seen enough changes. I've seen the power of God that has changed lives. I've seen those changed lives go out and change the world. I could take the rest of this year and every week account and recount for you the ministries that God has allowed us to be involved in. They were tremendous ministries. It has been a joyful, celebrating type journey that I've had with the Lord. I couldn't have chosen a better life than what God has given me. But I truly believe with everything that was within my being that what we have seen before, we're going to see greater in the next 50 years if Jesus tarries. But it's not just me believing. Do you believe it can happen to you? Do you believe that this year, call it what you will, but by making some resolutions, by making some decrees, by declaring based on the Word of God that this year is going to be a breakthrough year, do you really believe it can happen? I say, why not? The expectations that I have don't even match to the expectations that God has for each and every one of us as his children. He has raised us up from the very beginning to be a people unto himself, to be a people that will proclaim his name, to be a people that are able to say to all that are around us, there is a God in heaven that loves you and cares for you. He's died for you. He has risen from the dead. He is your only hope for the future. God has given us that responsibility, but not without the power to do it or the authority to do it. He has invested his word. He has invested his spirit. We are a people that need not to be walking around with our tails between our legs, not to be walking around with our head down because of this or because of that. We ought to be a people that walk high, believing that our God is bigger and greater than anything that we're going to face. That's what we're called to. This isn't fake it until you make it message. This isn't just a positive thinking message. This is the word of God for you, for me, for this church, for this ministry. God wants to do it more than we even want it to happen. You can live a blessed life. You can see things like you've never seen them before, but it's going to take faith. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. So what pleases God? Faith. He said, when you do these things, it will honor me. You walking in trust, you say, well, I want to honor God. I want to please God. Walk in faith. Walk believing him. So you're believing him for your own prosperity, your own abundant life, but yet in believing him for your benefit, you actually honor God. I mean, it's a win-win situation. Now, will we face our challenges? Yes. But when God's on our side, it's all going to work out. Now, here are some words or phrases that I have kind of pulled out. I've just listed them. If you want to jot them down real quick, I think they're good words to jot down on your notes. But as I read Leviticus 25, I read about this year of celebration, of year jubilee. Here's what I get out of it. The first word that came to my mind, and it's actually used, liberty. Now, I want us to dwell on that just a moment, liberty. There's a whole lot behind liberty, but one of the things that I found that was very, very, very interesting. How many recognize this picture? It's what? It's the Liberty Bell. Come on. It is the Liberty Bell. It's in Philadelphia. I've seen it many times. I saw it when it was in Independence Hall. I saw it after they pulled it out and made it own room for it. I've seen the crack. I've stood beside it. I've taken pictures of it. But in my study on this Jubilee year and this year of liberty, here's what I found, and I should have known it, inscribed on the Liberty Bell is Leviticus 25:10. Proclaim liberty throughout all of the land and to all its inhabitants. So is that happenstance or God ordained? It's God ordained. Somehow, in some way, those who were working in the foundry that was casting this bell in France that was given to the United States, someone came up and said, listen, United States is all about liberty. We're going to put on there Leviticus chapter 25. So it's almost like a declaration over the United States of America, you are going to be a land of liberty. And what have we been? A land of liberty. You can say what you will. You can complain about all the world. We are the freest, most liberated country in the world. And we have it not because of who we are, but because of the God who wrote those words, proclaim liberty throughout all of the land. Do you know what it was rung the first time for? It was rung to summon all the people to hear what? The Declaration of Independence. Happenstance or God ordained? God ordained. Emancipation is another word that I find here. Emancipation. Freedom, I kind of pull out of it. It's all about freedom. It's about restoration. You read in Leviticus there how things are to be restored back to their original owners. It's all about rest. It's all about release, releasing people from their debts, releasing the slaves. It's all about lordship. It's very clear. The land belongs to me. Who's really Lord over your life? It's about lordship. It's about ownership. It's about redemption. It's about forgiveness. Peace that comes with all of that. Debts were canceled. on the year of Jubilee. And then I couldn't find one word for this, so I put the whole phrase down. Deliberate opting out of the rat race. You ever feel like you're in a rat race? I mean, you're just trying to keep up with every demand that you have on your life, and you're going, and the pace is not set by God or His Word. It's set by our culture and our peers and everything that surrounds us, and we're in a rat race. But I want 2015, I'm going to deliberately opt out of it. I'm going to pull back. I'm not going to be pressured. I'm not going to order my steps according to what the world is saying I got to do. I'm going to order my steps in trust in God, faith in His Word, believing what He said is true. It's prioritizing. That's another word. I see priority, looking, pulling back. And what are our priorities? Is it trusting in God and believing His Word? Or is our priority working harder so that we can produce more because we'll think more comfortably? But in the end, it really doesn't work that way. And it's all about focus. It's all about focusing in on the One who called us out of our darkness into His glorious light that we might walk in that freedom that He has for us. Okay, so I narrowed it down to 4 points and 4 words that I'll use. What is Jubilee all about? And just a little, it's not a rabbit trail, but it is a trail. I've got to go down for a moment. If you go, and like I said, this is not one message. These things are going to come out throughout the year. Matter of fact, one of the things we're going to celebrate, we want to celebrate with the city, so we're going to have a big celebration when the weather changes. We can't have a picnic in weather like this. How many know that? It's just pretty hard to do. But we want to wait for the weather, and we're going to have a celebration. We want to invite the city officials. We want to invite businesses. We want them to come in and let them know that we're rejoicing in 50 years of ministry that has blessed this city. I believe the presence of God has blessed this city. I truly believe it. And you hear it. I hear it from the city officials that, you know, in the beginnings when we were trying to start up here and all the complaints from the neighbors and, oh, it's just another church and they're growing too big and look at all the cars that are there. But in the end, they look back now and say, you guys have been a blessing. You guys have been a blessing. That's great words to hear. But we want to invite them in and we want them to celebrate with us. But anyway, here's a couple other things that happened on the year of Jubilee. Interesting facts. When Abraham was called out of the land of Ur to go into the promised land, it was the year of Jubilee. Come on. It was 2,000 years after the promise to Adam and Eve. 2,000 years divided by 50 was the year of Jubilee. Trust me. All right? Exodus, Moses delivering the children of Israel, was the year of Jubilee. Jesus' first message recorded in Luke chapter 4 was in reference to Isaiah chapter 61, which is the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to what? Preach the good news, to set at liberty those that are captive, to break the bonds of wickedness and bondage. The year of Jubilee when Jesus preached that message. I could go on and on and on. It's fascinating how God is a God really of detail. And God knows, how many know God knows what He's doing? 2015, Lord, help us believe that. Help us believe that You know what You're doing. Okay, first thing, it's a year of rest. It's a year of rest. Okay, you're writing it down, but look up at me for a moment. Take a deep breath. Not all you're doing that. Because you don't know how to rest. Just go. Rest. How about declaring and claiming that this 2015 year of Jubilee, I am going to find my rest in Christ? You know, Israel has a great thing going for them. It's called the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is every 7 days they celebrate the Sabbath. I've been in Israel. It's a beautiful thing in Israel on Friday when we're traveling around and we're touring and we're doing the things that we're doing, that things begin to shut down on Friday. All the people are going to the marketplace and they're buying their foods so that they, for the Sabbath meal, Shabbat meal, families are getting ready because when sun goes down, they're to stop and cease all work. All of doing. Now, getting down to the letter of the law and all the laws that they made up for themselves, I mean, it gets pretty tricky in there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a general principle, and I think you understand that. But they rest. They gather the family together. They light the candles. They have this meal together. I've been fortunate. We have friends in the Jewish community here. And at least two or three times a year, we're invited to celebrate the Sabbath with them. We go to their home, and they have the furniture all moved out, big tables because they've invited people over. We go over, we take our grandchildren there, and we sit down, and they light the candles, they sing some songs, and they have entered into that day of rest, which goes through that night into the next day. They go to the synagogue the next day, and a lot of them won't even drive. They'll walk to the synagogue, they celebrate, they go back home, and they just rest, and it goes to sundown on Saturday. Can I suggest something? Let us intentionally try to find time of rest. Now, I'm guilty. I have to honestly tell you, we try. We have somewhat succeeded in having a time together. But just find a time. You might be saying, well, I've got to work. I've got to do this. I'm not calling it a day that you look at, but try to find a time, whether it's to be with your family, be with your mate. If you're a single person, just maybe you gather with some friends and just rest and think about it. Just stop the worries and the care. How many know that sounds like a good thing to do? In verse 2 of Leviticus 25, it says, after you've entered the land that I am giving you, it must be allowed to, here's that word again, rest. When you enter into that time of rest, you really are pulling back of your self-ambitions and self-desires and you're just saying, God, I'm just trusting you. I'm going to do this rest and trust you. Verse 4 of that same thing says, you must let your fields and vineyards rest in what? Honor of me. Once again, it's honoring to God that we're able to rest in him. Even the Lord, it says, why would it say, and he rested on the seventh day? God. I mean, it's like, does God need rest? No. It was more of a principle. It was more of a something he was trying to tell each and every one of us. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus, knowing that they really weren't entering into the rest, he said, if you're tired from carrying heavy burdens, I confess, Lord, I am tired of carrying heavy burdens. I really am. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Take the yoke I give you, put it on your shoulders, and learn from me. I am gentle and humble, and you will find rest. It's not that the burdens, they're there, but it's sharing them with the Lord. It's finding the place of rest where you know that he is walking alongside of you and you're resting in him. In Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 again, it says that they could not enter in. But Hebrews 4:1 gives us some encouragement. The promise to enter the place of rest is what? Still good. It's still good. It's a good thing to find rest in 2015. It's also going to be a year of retrieval. I use the word retrieval because it has a broader meaning to it. It includes a lot of things. It includes restoration. It includes recovery. So it's a year of retrieving. It's a year of recovering. Verse 10 says the 50th year, the year of Jubilee, is sacred. It's a time of what? Freedom, celebration, or jubilee, when everyone will receive back their original property. Get the idea here that let's look at 2015, this year of jubilee, of getting back what the enemy has stolen from us. Come on. Getting back what the enemy has stolen from us. We say, well, no, the enemy hasn't stolen. Do you think you have as much joy as you ought to have? I'm going to confess to you that over the years of doing what I would call good work, I mean, I haven't been involved in anything but doing what I felt God has called me to do, but there's just life itself can wear at you, can just weigh you down. And the enemy, slowly but surely, in a subtle way, begins to take from you your inheritance. And God is saying the year of Jubilee, 2015 can be a year where you're retrieving, you're restoring back, you're recovering back what the enemy has taken from you. that, Lord, I have slipped into this negative attitude, this negative mode, and Lord, I've accepted things I ought not to accept, and Lord, I need to stand firm and recovering, retrieving, getting back, claiming those things that belong to you. Look at some of the synonyms. I like this. Right out of the thesaurus, I wrote them down. Betterment. That sounds like my word, gooder. Things are going to be gooder, better. Betterment. Wow, 2015, things are going to be better. I'm claiming that. It's a comeback year. You've heard about a boxer made his comeback, an athlete made its comeback. Whatever it might be, a musician. But let it be a comeback year. Lord, I am set now. I am setting myself. I want this to be a comeback year. I want this year to be a healing. I want it to be improvement in my life. I want to improve my attitude toward my mate. I want to improve my attitude toward my fellow workers. Lord, I want things to improve. A reawakening. I'm going to retrieve. There's a reawakening I want in my spirit. Lord, I claim reawakening for this church, a rebirth. I love this. It's right in the thesaurus, resurrection. Resurrection doesn't happen unless something has died. And when something's died, how many know that God has the power to resurrect something? So maybe something's died off in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've let something go that you held on to very dearly before. And it's in the area of faith. It's in the area of trust. And that this year, you want to get it back. Rejuvenation. Rejuvenation. A year of rejuvenation. Haggai, one of the prophets, said this, that the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former. There's been a lot of glory attached to our ministry. There's been a lot of successes. Yes, there's been a lot of things we failed at, but more successes than failures. But I believe the glory is going to be greater. If Jesus Christ tarries, my prayer is this ministry will explode. That your life will explode with the goodness of God. Your life will explode with the abundance of God. Your life will explode with the blessings of the Lord. You'll walk in this rebirth, resurrected, rejuvenated life, and the latter glory will be greater than the former. It's going to be a year of repentance and forgiveness. Well, how does repentance fit into an abundant life? Listen, there's nothing like making things right before God. And you might be here today and you know that you've allowed things to come into your life. Young people, maybe you just allowed your thoughts to go where they shouldn't have gone. And older. Maybe you need to, this year, begin it out by just saying, Lord, you know, the year of Jubilee started on Yom Kippur, which is a day of repentance. I've been to a service in the synagogue, and I want to tell you, it was a glorious experience for me. It's like 3 hours long, but do you know what they do for most of those 3 hours? Repent of everything you can possibly think of. I walked out of there and said, Cheryl, if I'm not clean now, I'll never be clean. I honestly said that to her in the parking lot. I mean, I repented of everything. I mean, it was, but it's healthy. I felt good. I made things right before God. At least for the next minute or so, I felt clean. I think you know what I'm talking about. But a year of repentance, there's freedom in that. I can celebrate that. But it's also forgiveness. There's nothing more cleansing, more freeing for you and others that you forgive other people of their debts. Release them of the debts because they've wronged you, or they've hurt you, or they abused you. And man, you can hold on to that thing and it's not healthy. Let this be a year where you totally, Lord, I forgive every enemy. I forgive everyone who's spoken ill against me. Lord, I forgive mom and dad. I forgive the school I went to. I forgive the teachers that did this. I forgive the bosses that have done this. Lord, I forgive the church that has done this to me. How about just making it right? 2015, total forgiveness. Releasing. Letting go so that we can let God do more. And lastly, it's a year of reprioritizing. It's a year to look and say, okay, God, what have I let get up to number one when you really should be number one? How have I ordered my life so that I've kind of crowded out what really is important to you, and I've allowed these other things to creep in? Lord, I want to reprioritize my life.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.